This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's talk some football, and we'll do that by heading out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and bring in our buddy Nick Shook with NFL.com, former intern. And I'm sure you have to reminisce. Just so many, how many days do you spend just going, wow, the good old days at 92.3 The Fan with people like Kenny Kidd? How many times a day do you do that, Nick?
Oh, every hour, I think. You know, every time the clock hits the top of the hour, I start to think about it about 15 minutes in. It hits me full blast. And I think, man, those Saturdays and Sundays back in the summer of 2013, I'll tell you what, it was great.
When the Browns were just awesome. And yeah, I mean, it's... Not much has changed. Nick Shook is joining us, NFL.com. All right, bud, let's get right into this in terms of J.C. Tretter, Players Association president, of course, Brown Center. Yesterday, he pens this letter, and I kind of tip my hat to him because I think it was something where it seemed like the players were waiting and waiting and waiting for what the safety guidelines are going to be. And we've heard coaches like McVay and Harbaugh say, how are we going to do this? Still nothing from Roger Goodell. Yesterday, Goodell says, oh, by the way, the preseason's cut from 4 to 2. We expected that. Do you think the announcement yesterday could have been in response, as far as it happening yesterday, in response to what J.C. Tretter penned?
Well, I mean, not entirely, because I think this is something that people have talked about for weeks from the player side and I think from a team side.
I'm just saying from the timing as far as yesterday making the announcement. The preseason is short yet.
You know, it would make sense if that was the case, but I still don't think so. I think that as crazy as this sounds, it's, you know, 4th of July weekend and the league office itself is closed the next 2 days. So I think that the Wednesday was a became Friday kind of thing. I think it was just kind of coming down the pipe just because we're now, you know, within a month of camp starting. So it's something that people need addressed or wanted to be addressed. And it was actually something that they really couldn't even come to a firm conclusion on as of last evening from an NFLPA side. So I think that it was a little bit coincidental, but I think JC was completely right in doing what he did because he's, you know, from a leadership perspective, he's, you know, head of the president of the players union for, you know, going into his first training camp as the head of the players union. And it's the most unusual of off seasons. And there's not a lot of information available, you know, I mean, think about it from a regular citizen perspective. We don't really have all that much information. Everything kind of changes by the day and you're kind of just going with the flow and figuring out, you know, what are the best practices and where we're headed as a country. He's in a position of leadership where he needs to disseminate information to all of his colleagues, all of his peers in the NFL, and he also doesn't have that information because, again, we're all kind of in that situation. So I definitely understand where he's coming from, and I think we're all kind of in the same boat, even though it can feel like at times like we're, you know, headed toward maybe a risk or a little bit of a space where you just don't know what's going to happen, and you feel like, well, wait, I need to know, like, what the risks are. I need more information as a leader than I'm being given. But, you know, it is kind of an unfortunate part of the situation, I think, just going on with this pandemic that we still haven't gotten under control.
So what's the delay, Ben? Like, what's the reason behind it? Because you look at the NBA, you look at MLB, they both put out 113-page, for some reason both exactly 113-page manuals. NBA's got it down to who can play ping pong together. What's taken so long with Roger Goodell to actually initiate some of these changes or implement some of these changes and really lay down the foundation? To me, it seems like a stall tactic. I don't know.
I can understand why you would think that. I really think that it's just a matter of things continue to change. This is a league that's going to attempt to play in every city and try to conduct operations as normal as usual. You know, haven't even come down to a determination on whether people are going to be able to sit in stands or not. And I think that the delay has really been a product of the fact that they don't start games, you know, until August in the preseason. They don't start the regular season games until September. They've had a longer runway where these leagues that you're mentioning have been in this holding period where they were forced to cancel or cancel in the middle of the season or cancel the start of their season and have just kind of had to go with it. Whereas the NFL has had so much time to kind of, you know, just wait and see that they continue to wait and see all the way up to camp. And what they would say, I think from a league perspective and from the league office is that, you know, we're continually getting, the latest updates and new information on how to handle this and continuously trying to, you know, refine the policies and everything else based on player input, coach input, franchise input, and the latest information they have from their doctors. And so that's why you're kind of getting this evolving situation that they continue to kind of produce. But we are running out of time. You know, they are going to be reporting to camp soon. So I think that's why you're starting to see some more firm action taken, at least on the part of a guy like J.C. Treader, who's in a position of leadership. And I'm sure you'll see that follow suit from the NFL.
Nick Shook, NFL.com, joining us on the hotline. Nick, I'm going to go back to, and I remember having this conversation with you a while back, you know, Sean McVay and John Harbaugh and some of the other coaches kind of, you know, joking aloud about how are we going to do this? Like, football is football. And obviously, Nick, you know that. You get on the practice field, certainly get in a game. I mean, it's not exactly conducive to social distancing. So I guess I hear what you're saying, and I think part of it is, yeah, you want to wait to the last possible second to get the most information. But is it possible that, like, Roger Goodell is trying to figure out a way to make this safe, and there might not be a way to make it safe as far as the game? I mean, we can talk about facilities and what you're there, but let's just on the field, 11 on 11. How do you make that safer amidst COVID-19?
Yeah, I think there are limitations, no doubt. I mean, it's a contact sport, and it's the most physical sport that you're going to see played. I mean, hockey as well. But, you know, this is a game where guys are, you know, they're firing off the ball and running into each other. I mean, every play. And it's, you have to tackle a guy to stop a play. And you know, you can't avoid the contact. And in a time where, you know, there's so much focus on social distancing and everything else, it's obviously a massive hurdle to try to clear, to figure out how to do it safely while also, you know, playing the sport the way it's intended to be played. So I think it's an incredible challenge for anybody associated to try to figure out how to do that safely. And I think that's why you continue to see, the evolving situation from the league perspective, and also a little bit of frustration from coaches and players, because this is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. I mean, I find myself just watching old games and thinking, man, like, look at that full stadium. Look at, you know, how we're focused on the game and not worried about trying to stay 6 feet away from each other, who's wearing a mask and who isn't, and that kind of thing. So, you know, I kind of, you know, reminisce and long for that time. And so you think, you know, if you have to be at the head of a league that's going to try to perform and up to as close as it was at that time, you know, amid this pandemic, it's going to be extremely difficult. So I feel for anybody who's in charge of a league like that or of an operation like that. And I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before as well, where, you know, people are thinking, oh, man, you know, these players are testing positive already, and this is going to happen. These players are testing positive. I think if you go into a league and go into the season expecting anything, but at least some of these players testing positive at some point or another, then I think you're just being unrealistic. There's no way you go through an entire season somebody doesn't test positive. I mean, look at the amount of cases we have on a daily basis and the nature of the sport. I think it's just the league trying its best as possible to prevent the spread of the coronavirus and also try to prevent, guys getting on the field with it and being as cautious and as proactive about it as possible. But I think, you know, there are limitations realistically.
Okay, so when I see videos then of Russell Wilson and Antonio Brown working out together, and you see Thomas Edward Patrick Brady throw in on his Instagram with just like a laissez-faire approach to it all, at least it appears to be to me, to my eyes, was it wrong of Kevin Stefanski to kind of put a halt to Baker Mayfield's Austin workouts? Or like, are the Browns going to be kind of starting behind because some of these quarterbacks have decided we're going to go ahead and do these practices anyway, whereas it looks like the Browns have kind of closed camp on that?
I don't think that they're going to start behind because of informal player workouts being halted by their coach, which, you know, that's debatable. I mean, players should probably take it more seriously than they are, but again, that risk is up to them, just as is the risk of them participating. I think they're going to be more behind because they didn't have an off season together. None of these teams had any time on the field together in a formal setting. They weren't in the facility together. Everything was virtual. And for a first-time head coach, he didn't get the install periods on the field, in the OTAs, in the mini camp that, you know, he would typically get in a normal year. And they're going to have camp to do that, but they're going to have to kind of cram everything into camp. Now, having a shortened preseason will probably help them a little bit because they'll get some more field work and not have to prepare so much for a game that's not going to matter. But it's still, they're still going to be behind as compared to a typical season in trying to get an entirely new coaching staff in place. Luckily, they don't have a massive amount of roster turnover, but you still have to deal with the roster turnover that's typical of a team, and also of a team that's been its first-round pick on a starting left tackle, went and signed a starting right tackle, and also, you know, went out and added key players elsewhere, you know, tight end, safety, that sort of thing. So they're going to go through those. They're going to have to clear those hurdles, but I think the biggest one will be the fact that they didn't get the spring together to get the basis of their system installed, and they're going to have to try to play catch-up at that point.
Nick Shook, NFL.com, is our guest. Kent Carman Show with Anthony Lima, Chico, and Jonathan in for the guys. Nick, let's shift gears a little bit, and I first want to ask you this. I remember you writing a column a while back, seems like a year ago now, but it wasn't that long, where you're talking about destinations, possible destination spots for certain free agents. We talked about Jameis Winston, Cam Newton. Okay, so Cam Newton lands in New England. Something tells me, I don't know if it was him or Jameis, didn't you say that you could see that happening with the Patriots, and didn't you say that a while ago?
March 25th. <In fact. laughs>
Not that you were.
Not that I was tracking by the day. No, when it happened, I got the information. I went, well, that's not surprising. And then I went back to find when I did write that. But yeah, we had actually, I think, discussed it a few times too.
Yeah.
Even in the evening about, you know, potential landing spots, especially when things were slower in the league, because, you know, you're sitting back wondering, this is a former league MVP. Yeah, it was 5 years ago, but why is this guy not getting any traction? And I think it was a product of the pandemic and him not being able to visit teams. So he didn't have much of a market. But we continued to talk about, you know, where's his best fit going to be? And it had to be New England, because if you looked at them on paper, they were the only team with a glaring need, with a team that, intended to contend almost immediately and didn't have a veteran quarterback, but just had a guy, an unproven guy, and Jared Stidham on the roster. Now, I'm curious to see, I would imagine he's going to win the job or whatever in a training camp and be their starting quarterback. But I do think it's funny that some people anticipate that, they're going to be vastly different because Cam Newton is their quarterback. Now, they're going to be, I think, more versatile as an offense. They're going to be able to do more things, but I don't think they're going to have to completely change their scheme. It's not like they went and signed Lamar Jackson. This is not, it's not kind of the same thing. So I think it should be a good fit. It's just very interesting, I think, because you go from Tom Brady being there for 20 years to Cam Newton being there. It's a bit of a shift in style, I think, that will be very interesting to see how that plays in Josh McDaniels' offense. But he is creative. He's done it before with other quarterbacks. So it could prove to be very lucrative. Having said that, I don't anticipate them being in the Super Bowl this year.
Well, okay, and I think we agree on this, and some have been, you know, we've wide range of opinions on this. I think, you know, first and foremost, obviously we've got to say it. I think we know it, but we got to say it again. We don't know how healthy this guy is. We're thinking he's healthy, and it's not even so much the foot for me, it's the shoulder and how that ball's coming out of his hand. He hasn't been the most accurate guy. Obviously, if we're talking 2015, he was an MVP, but we'll see how that fit is. Before this signing and after the signing, I think I know what your answer is, but Was Buffalo your favorite in the AFC East? Was New England still the favorite in the AFC East? And now that just solidifies it for you. How do you look at that division?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, when you get the news that he came to and was going to sign on Sunday, I didn't really think so much about how it would impact the Patriots, but really how it would impact the Buffalo Bills, because they are the favorite. You know, they're coming off a playoff appearance. Tom Brady's gone. The boogeyman's finally gone. It's time for them to take over and everything else. And then, you know, the team that they think they finally vanquished because its franchise quarterback has left for sunnier, you know, weather down south, decides to go get somebody who could very well return them to prominence, you know, in a flash. So I would imagine that some people were probably not very happy about it in Western New York, but also, you know, knowing the psyche of a Bills fan, they were probably also like, well, we don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, we got this. It'll be fine. And I think that they will be fine because what they're built on works. I think it travels. You know, their defense plays well. They keep them in almost every game that they're in. They need to see Josh Allen take another step forward, but, you know, I think they have the core and the basis of what you need in the NFL to be a winning football team. They've established a culture, I think, that is going to play well in this season. You kind of have to expect your franchise quarterback to do his job. I think that's a big question mark, and it's not as big of a question mark as it might have been going into last season. He does just need to continue to take those steps forward, and I think they'll be in contention throughout the season. And I think the only difference this year is they're not going to be battling for wild card spots; they're going to be battling for their division title. And I think that New England will give them a run for their money. But you know, at least from where we stand right now, you know, looking at the team, and especially with, you know, last year's results in mind and everything that's gone in the offseason, I think that I would still leave the Bills as my favorite in the AFC. It's just going to be a little bit more of a challenge for them than it might have been.
Yeah, you know, quick one, Nick. What do you think about the Washington Redskins as far as investors calling on Nike, FedEx, PepsiCo to cut ties with them? We keep an eye on it being an Indian city. You know, we try to keep tabs on where everyone is. I've always maintained Dan Snyder won't ever change the name, but it seems like there is more, I'm going to say, momentum towards that ever happening, at least from what I've seen in my lifetime.
You know, I don't know. We're in an unprecedented time where a lot of different things have changed that we would have been stunned to see change even maybe a year ago. So I think everything's on the table, but I do think that that's a change that doesn't happen overnight, even if people call for it, because it's a branding thing. You know, it takes multiple years typically for a team to change its branding. The last time we saw a team change its branding in professional sports quickly out of necessity was probably the Clippers. And that did not go well with the way they changed their logo and everything else. And that was with keeping the name. So figuring out how to come up with a new name and also all the associated branding. It's usually a 2-year process. And so I don't think that that's something that's going to happen quickly, but the fact that it's, you know, it's gaining momentum means that it's more of a possibility. But I don't think it's going to be something that happens immediately. And I think in relation to the Indians too, I don't think that that's something that happens overnight either.
Nick Shook, NFL.com. Always a pleasure. Keep up the great work and enjoy the holiday, pal. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, you too.
All right, that's Nick on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.